Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how she's still single, even though you could come in my eye, kick me in the tit, and say, hey, I didn't do that. Gaslight me, baby. My guest today is an actor, a writer, a filmmaker, and I didn't know this, a stylist. She's also my co-star on NBC's Grand Crew, which just got picked up for season 2, so you can catch up on Peacock or Hulu. My guest is Gracie Mercedes. Bow, bow, bow,
bow, bow. Wow, what an intro.
Listen, Gracie, I'm always having fun.
I love it. I love it.
Wait, this is wild. I knew you had a blog. I didn't know you were a stylist. What is this?
Nicole, I've had so many jobs. You don't even know. So basically, when I moved to LA to pursue acting, and like I was doing some like TV hosting or like online hosting. And I was like, I didn't want to wait tables anymore. I got to that point and I was like, I can't fucking wait tables anymore. And so randomly, my friend at the time was a like head stylist for American Eagle and Aerie, like back in like 2007-ish maybe, when the brand was a little like cooler. Not to like diss American Eagle or Aerie,
but fuck American Eagle. We don't need them. They're trash. I'm kidding. If you would like to send me jeans, because I think you just extended your size range, please send them to me.
So yeah, back then they were like actually pretty cool at that time. And so he was like, hey, do you want to help me like assist me in styling these photo shoots? And I was like, sure. I was like broke, needed money. And he literally just asked me because he knew I like clothes. Like I never styled before. And so that turned into like a gig that 4 times a year I would go to American Eagle. They would travel all over the country and sometimes to like Hawaii and places like that to shoot their, to shoot these campaigns. And then I eventually became the stylist for Aerie, the brand Aerie, which is more like underwear and stuff, and loungewear. And then that turned into me taking on like personal clients. And then that turned into me doing like personal shopping stuff. And at the time I had a hosting agent and he was like, you know, for hosting, you can't just be like a pretty face who can speak on camera. Like, you have to have a niche. This is what he told me at the time. And I was like, well, okay. I style stuff. I'm like a stylist. I guess I could be like a fashion host. He's like, great. And so then that turned into like what I started doing. And then I did like a segment on Access Hollywood for 6 months, selling shit. And I, around that time is when like blogging became a thing and like outfits of the day became a thing, which I thought was super fucking weird. But I started doing it and then I started making money from blogging. And all this was great because I was able to also like go on auditions and try acting.
That's nice. I was, what did I do? I was a waitress for a while, very bad at it. And then worked the front desk at UCB, which is like, I was such a bad employee. I'd be like, I don't know how to do this. And nobody ever was like, can you learn? They'd just be like, well, I guess I'll do it. Yeah, that's fun. I love that you like parlayed a like, do you want to do this into like a full blown fucking career?
Yeah, I feel like I do that a lot. I like try new things. And if I like it, I'm like, oh, let me see how long I can get away with this kind of thing. And it actually, blogging became such a big thing, like this influencer crap. I hate that word. But like that turned into a thing that for like 3 years, I was making like a lot of money doing this stuff. But then what ended up happening is like I had no time for like audition. I kept leaving town. And at the time, I only had a commercial agent. And she was like, do you want to ever be in town so you can go on auditions? Because this was before like the COVID and the self-taping. And I was like, yeah, but they're paying me a lot of money and I'm traveling around the world. And like a commercial will maybe make you money if it airs a bunch.
Yeah, maybe. And then you have to like keep track of if it's still airing. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to really not like self-tapes, but it is nice to not have to like drive anywhere. But also, I'm back to it. I'd like to go somewhere. But also, I just got COVID, so I don't want it again. Gracie, girl, it was bad.
I'm sorry, because we got it around the same time, and I was not bad at all. I didn't even know I had it. I thought I had allergies.
See, you were living your life, having a nice time, maybe being careful. I got on a plane to go to a super spreader event. I was like ha-haing into people's mouths, like being like, it's over. It was truly wild. And then I was like, am I tired or do I have COVID? And then I got home and it was like, bitch, you got COVID.
I'm so sorry.
Ugh, I hated it.
How do you feel now? Are you better?
I'm a little bit better, but I'm still like kind of tired.
Yeah.
I have to like lay down after I do a couple of things and be like, oh, poof, knocked me out. while sucks. I was in New York, I had the wildest time with this driver. His name was Frank. And he asked me if I was ovulating.
What?
And the-
No. That's inappropriate.
Yeah. He asked me if I was ovulating and I was like, I don't think so. And then he said, are you craving a baby?
Oh my God.
And I was like, no, I don't think I'm craving a baby. And then he asked me if I was a stripper. And then I was like, I do pole dance. And then he asked me what kind of lingerie I liked.
Why'd you tell him you did pole dancing?
I don't know. I think what happened was I was like, let's see how far this goes. How far will this go before it turns out to be better? I'm always down for an adventure.
Yeah, but that's a New York driver that can maybe murder you and put you, you know, in the river.
Well, I fancy myself to be very strong. So, like, I think I could have taken him. He had long, weird fingers.
Ew.
And he asked me something else. He was like, so do you like strip clubs? I said, yeah. And he was like, so what if like you and me, we go get a girl and we, he was like in, take advantage of her. And I was like, Frank, his name is Frank. I was like, Frank, you can't take advantage of women. And he was like, whoa, no, I mean in like a good way. And I was like, there is no good way of taking advantage of a woman, Frank. Frank was terrible. And then what was one of the last things he said? Fuck, it was good. Oh, he was like, you know what I like? Glory holes. And I was like,
oh
Frank.
My God.
I was like, Frank, you know glory holes are like kind of gay. And he was like, no, they're not. in porn, there's a woman on the other end. And I was like, yeah, but like in real life, it's like tapping your foot on a bathroom stall. And he got real mad and was like swerving. And then I was like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't tell him any more of my thoughts or opinions. That was the only time I was like, actually like, oh no, what if this is bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had my address, but was still asking like where he should go. So then I just told him to pull over like a block away from where I was actually going.
Yeah. This is insane. I'm very happy you're still alive.
Thank you.
I don't like this story. I don't like Frank. Frank should be fired. Can we get Frank fired?
I don't know, but I don't know. I'm haunted by his skinny thingies.
Ew. No.
Then I was like, maybe I'll date Frank.
No,
he did ask to be my New York boyfriend. And I was like, well, he is kind of wild and I'll always have a story.
Was he cute?
No, he was one of the ugliest motherfuckers I've ever seen. I told you he had long Crypt Keeper fingers. They were so long. It looked like he had taken, what are those called? Asparaguses and painted them the color of his skin. Like they were so long.
This is, yeah,
it was gross. You should have came to New York that week.
You know, the irony is I didn't go because I was like, I don't want to go to New York and get COVID again because the first time I got COVID was from New York. And then I fucking stayed here and I got COVID.
You know, I don't know. I'm not for it. Okay. Because a lot of people are like, so COVID's just a cold, whatever. And I was like, yeah, a bad one.
And a bad one where you are, if you want to be a quote unquote responsible human and a good, you know, citizen, you're supposed to stay home for 5 to 10 days. So it's like, yeah, it's a cold, but you can't leave your house. And for me, it was super frustrating because I didn't feel sick. Right. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even have known I had COVID if it wasn't for that event that I was supposed to go to that. For the show.
Which is, it's so wild. I'm like, oh, so everyone's just walking around out here with COVID and they don't know it.
Yeah.
Unless they have a job where they have to get tested.
I was like, oh, I had no idea. And I thought for sure it was wrong. Like, I thought the PCR was wrong and I took a rapid at home and that shit turned positive real quick.
It is so funny. So in the beginning, it was like, you have it. It would turn red very, very quickly. And then towards the end, it would be very faint. And I said to a friend, I was like, the COVID's leaving my body. It's very faint. And they were like, I don't think that's how tests work. I was like,
no,
I think it is. Like in the beginning of being pregnant, I feel like it's a faint line. And then when that baby is fucking ready to walk out, it's like thick.
Yeah, because the hormones get stronger for the pregnancy test. And then for the COVID test, the viral loads get like less and less. Same thing.
Thank
I was testing
you, so
every
I'm
other
not
day.
Dumb.
I don't think so, because I was testing every other day and it was the same thing. Like the line kept getting lighter and lighter until it disappeared. And I was like, yay, the COVID is out of me. But I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
The COVID's out of me. I knocked it out.
I'm free.
It was nice, though. I had a friend. My friend Gilly brought me a little care package and that was so nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, she brought me ice pops, and those really came in handy because my throat hurt so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, enough about COVID. Gracie, can we talk about your divorce?
We can.
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I've also been divorced.
What?
I married a man. It's a long story. He wanted to stay here in this country and I wanted money. It's been 10 years since. So I think it's like.
Oh, wait. I do remember this story. You told me this story on set once, I believe.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Mm-hmm. My wedding pictures are even dumber. I had blue contacts and bangs. So tell me. Okay.
Yeah.
How long were you in your relationship before you were like, we're done?
Well, it wasn't that simple. I mean, we were together. I've talked about this publicly, and so I'm not afraid to talk about it. But Damien, my ex, and I, we were together for almost 14 years.
That's a long
time. It's a very long time. We met in our early 20s at MTV. We both worked there. We were just friends back then who like hooked up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Los Angeles. He stayed in New York. He was hosting TRL then. And we had connected on, wait for it. This is how old we are. MySpace.
Yes. Did you put each other in your top eight?
Was it top eight or top nine? Was it top eight?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't remember.
I think it was top nine. No, the irony was my photo on MySpace was a picture. I'm such a cornball. Was a picture of me on a drum set because the guy I was dating back then played drums, and so I had a picture on his drum set. I was learning how to play drums. Okay, and so then Damien, who also plays drums, saw this picture and used that as an excuse to kind of like reach out and be like, "Hey, remember me? Oh. We used to work together. I also play drums." I'm like, "Yeah, I remember you. That was 3 years ago, dude. Like, it wasn't that long.
It wasn't that long ago, and I remember people I've hooked up with. Thank you.
Yeah, not that hard." And that turned into like texting, and then it turned into, "I'm going to be in LA," and then turned into, "Oh, we're going to spend every day together for a week." And then that turned into like 6 months of long distance, which then turned into, "Will you move to New York?" Like back to New York. And I was like, mm-hmm. "No, I moved to LA for a reason." And TRL was about to end. So the deal was, I will move to New York for this last year of you on the show if you move back to LA. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest was history. You know, we stayed together. We got married like 5 years later. It wasn't something that I just woke up and was like, I need to get a divorce. It was more like many years of feeling that though he was like one of my best friends, this didn't feel quite right. It didn't mm-hmm. feel like the husband I felt I needed, if that makes sense.
Oh, I think that does make sense. I think there's something to being like, okay, this did work for a while. You were my best friend. And you're different. I'm different. Mm-hmm. I need something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of more like personal shit that maybe I shouldn't talk about. But there was like stuff with kids and like him saying he wanted kids, but me never really believing he wanted kids. And then when we started trying to have kids, it wasn't working. And then I'm very like, I wouldn't say I'm like super spiritual, but I do believe everything happens for a reason. And mm-hmm. I do believe like the universe puts in front of you what it's supposed to put in front of you. And we, you know, I had two miscarriages. I went through IVF. Like we just couldn't make a baby together. And mm-hmm. and something in me was like, we're not supposed to have a baby together, if that makes sense. And that turned into like, well, what else is wrong here? And then I started seeing a therapist. I was seeing a therapist before, but I started seeing a different therapist, a female therapist who specifically works with women who've gone through like IVF and miscarriages and things like that. And I went to her. Now, this is more personal than I've ever talked about publicly, so yay. But I started.
I mean, if you think about this later and you're like, I don't want this in, we can cut it out.
Okay. I feel like I talk about very personal things. I mean, I talked about my whole IVF process on my blog years ago. I don't really blog anymore, so this feels like a good outlet. But the reason why I justify being like open, because I'm like, I know there are so many women going through shit like this. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it was helpful to hear that other women were going through shit like this. And so I just hope that maybe this will inspire someone to like do whatever they feel in their heart is the right thing for them. Anyway, I started going to a therapist. She's lovely. I still see her. She's amazing. And I'll never forget that I think it was like a year in and she was like, you know, I was talking about possibly wanting a divorce and all these, and I didn't know if I wanted to be a mom, and I couldn't tell if it was like, do I not want to be a mom or do I not want to have a kid with him?
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me one day, she said, Gracie, if you can wake up tomorrow morning, you know, Damien's feelings aside, you know, societal pressures aside, what would you want to wake up to? Like, what would your life look like? And I said, I thought about it for a second. I said, I want to be alone.
Oh.
And I just immediately started like hysterical crying. Like just like, oh. Like that, you know, that kind of cry where you're just like, oh my God.
Uh-huh.
And I realized in that moment, I was like, holy shit. Yeah. And then it took two more years for me to actually like say that out loud to him and like talk. Mm-hmm. And we went through couples therapy to try to work it out. But I think it was a lot of like guilt. You know, I went to 12 years of Catholic school. I have a lot of Catholic guilt. Mm-hmm. I want to be a quote unquote good person. I wanted to be a quote unquote good wife. I felt like I needed to give this a real shot or chance or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, I was like, I'm not happy in this relationship anymore. And I'm not a spring chicken and life is short. And I need to fucking make a decision. And so that was when I kind of made that decision. And, you know, it was hard, very, very hard, and hard for both of us. And couples therapy helped the transition of it all. I really mm-hmm. wanted to make sure that we remained friends and that it didn't get ugly, and it never did. And I'm proud of both of us for how we separated and eventually filed for divorce.
That's nice. I yeah. often think about people whose like marriages end with them hating each other. I'm like, yeah, but you love that person at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you let it get to a point where you like hate them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because there's like a lot of resentment. There could be like resentment. There can be also, let me preface by saying, I think it's easier to be friends when mm-hmm. no one's cheated, no one's done anything too fucked up or too hurtful, because I think it's hard to get over stuff like that. Like, I think mm-hmm. if I would have cheated on him or he would have cheated on me, I don't know if we could be friends right now. Like, that might have been like too much. But because there was like, it was almost like a drama-free divorce. I mean, it's still sad and still hard, but there was no malice. And I think that that makes a big difference. And we don't have kids together, so that made mm-hmm. it easier. Like, it was just kind of an easier transition because of a lot of different things.
That's nice to hear. I also, okay, I cannot wrap my mind around loving someone, mm-hmm. marrying someone, mm-hmm. and then loving someone else. Being like, bye-bye, I don't love you anymore. Now I love somebody else.
Well, it is fucking weird. And I'll always have love for him. Always, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say, oof, dating. Oh, God.
It's, you know, it's bad.
Horrible. It's horrible. It's
truly the worst. I want to read to you real quick what a gentleman said to me on Hinge.
Oh, no. I'm scared. Oh, no.
So, like, you can, like a picture and write something. So this nice man, he wrote, Nicole, you got it going on. And you can do a split, LOL. Would like you to hit me back and split on me.
Oh, no.
So, I guess I'm just getting old where, I mean, having sex is nice or whatever. Mm-hmm. Truly, I don't know. Like, when I first started this podcast, only 10 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, man, I just want to fuck. Mm-hmm. And if a relationship happens, it happens. But now I'm like, it's not that important. Yes, it's an important part of a relationship, but also, can I talk to you? Can right. we be friends?
Right.
What else is going on? Because you don't spend... You're not fucking all the time. You got to talk to the person.
No, I mean, sex is definitely important.
yeah, I don't want to date somebody where I'm like, we don't have chemistry in that department.
Yeah.
But like, sex is good, but like, I want to wake up to somebody that I like, you know?
Yeah. No, that's obvious. That's super important. And I took a long time to date. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't start dating well, here's the thing, because of COVID we were living together but kind of like already knew we were breaking up, so like I went a long time without having sex and it was fucking horrible. So then once I moved out and I still waited like 6 months I think before I even like started to think about dating. And then I went on the apps for like 2 months, which was when we were shooting. So you were a part of that whole experience. And then went on a couple dates that were just like okay to terrible. And didn't have sex with any of those people, but did have some cute makeout sessions. But I immediately was like, this fucking sucks. Because hadn't been single in over 14 years. And the last time I was single, dating apps did not exist. And so I was like, I don't understand this. Like, I kind of hate this. And then I realized I had dated so many people that I wasn't physically attracted to at first, but something about their personality made me be like, oh my God, I love this person. And like, that's why I dated mm-hmm. them. And you can't figure that out through an app. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
You're just like looking at what people look like.
Yeah. And you have to like get there in person. The last person I went out with more than once, I was like, I don't know about you. And then the second time I was like, oh, the thing I didn't know was I found you to be like endearing and like nice. I was like, is this a trick?
Uh-huh. No, I get it. And then I was on only Raya first, and Raya, I'm gonna I'm going to out myself of being a little superficial, but Raya doesn't have like height things on there. And I'm 5'8 and I'm going to put on some boots. I'm 5'10.
I don't feel like you're that tall, but you're definitely taller than me.
I know. You say this all the time. And I thought you were taller. I thought you
it's
were
because
like,
when I sit down, I seem tall because my butt's so big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm definitely 5'8 and maybe even 5'8 and a half, but I just say 5'8. And then
so
I put
tall.
On a heel. You know what I mean? And so like the first date I went on, of course the guy shows up and he's like my height, but like shorter because I'm wearing boots. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, ah, fuck. But then I went on a second date and realized I didn't like he wasn't for me. But
mm-hmm.
because of the height thing on Raya, I was like, oh, let me go on Hinge because Hinge has heights.
Hinge does have heights, and I feel like Hinge is full of people who are like, I just want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and at the time, I didn't want that.
There was this man on Hinge who seemed, I guess I didn't take a screenshot of it. He seemed real mad out the gate. He was like, it was like the prompt was, don't go out with me if, and it was like, if you're squeamish about me being bisexual, if you're mad that I'm only 5'6", and you, oh. And there was one more thing, and I cannot remember, but I like threw my head back and laughed, and I was like, this man has been burned by uh-huh. people, uh-huh. and he is just putting it all out there.
Uh-huh. That happened on my first Hinge date. The guy was very... He kind of felt like a little bit of a Debbie Downer. Like, he was really down on, like, dating and stuff. And I'm like, well, why are you on this date? But then he also really was very expressive of how badly he wanted a girlfriend.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You
and
can't show all your cards. And then
no.
My mother used to say men can smell desperation. I think everybody can smell a little bit of desperation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I just wanted... I mean, I was down to fuck. Like, I just really wanted to, like, hook up with somebody. And I didn't want a serious relationship. I'm like, I'm not even technically divorced yet. Like, that shit takes time. You file. It still takes 6 months before they grant it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. But then I met someone in real life off the app.
Which is so nice. And I'm like, how did you do that in the year of our Lord of 2022? How did you do it?
It was my best friend. She had thought of him. She didn't really know him, but she like had seen him around and she knew where he was going to be one night. Let's just say that. So
I love that. I love that. I know where the fuck this man's going to be.
So we showed up.
Ooh, baby.
And he was there. And we started dating. And it was great. Like I instantly felt a connection to him and he could have gotten it on the first night, but I waited to the second date.
I love that.
I don't know.
I'm always like, should I wait?
Mm-hmm.
Do I wait? Usually I've only really waited like 3 times. The first time I waited 6 whole dates and we still didn't fuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He like just quit smoking weed and was having some problems with things. And he was like, it's not your fault. And I was like, okay. He like couldn't get it up. And I immediately was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, it's not your fault. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
And then he got like very embarrassed. And then we never recovered from that.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because in hindsight, I was like, I really liked him. But then I was like, no. I did not. He was very boring and not for me. And then the other person it was like 2 dates. And then another person was 3 dates. And I don't know. There's like, there's no like rhyme or reason. And there hasn't been like an outcome that's better than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I really just wanted a fuck buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he checked all the boxes. But then like, you know, I think we started to like each other more than fuck buddies, which was complicated and still mm-hmm. complicated. Well, we don't have to get into that, but
we don't. Okay. So before COVID, I had a fuck buddy who I was like, he said some things that led me to believe that we were going to be more than fuck buddies. Mm. Like, well, one, he like made me breakfast in the morning and I was like, oh my God, he makes me breakfast. And then, on our first date, he was like, do you want to meet my dad? I'm going to dinner with him later. And I was like, no. And then he like invited me on a trip with his dad. And I was like, what is, I was like, maybe this is more. And then I was like, do you want to stop dating other people? And he was like, I don't believe in monogamy. And I'll have you know, she did some light internet stalking. He's engaged to somebody. So he found somebody to be monogamous with. But also, I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, but I'm 100% sure he's monogamous with this person. But, you know, life is perfect and it makes you feel like shit all the time. real quick, we got to take a break.
Okay.
See Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Doop, bop, beep, bop. We're back, Gracie. Okay, I have a question.
Yes. I'm scared.
I was going to ask this question, but it was such a rude question. I'm not going to ask it.
No, ask it.
Do you like giving head?
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't mind it.
Okay, because I was like reading. I got into like this hole. I was like trying to research something for this podcast. And I was like, because it was like, lots of ladies don't like it. And I was like, but I do. And I'd like to find an essay of a woman who likes giving head.
You know, I like doing it, but I don't like them finishing that way.
Oh, me either. I think it's rude to fill up someone's mouth with something that you didn't ask for.
All that. Also, I'm like, I want to ream some benefits before you're done. So yeah, but the guy had like, how much do I say?
Say it all.
Well, it's interesting because I obviously was with my husband for so long, so it was like the same penis for 14 years, so I was very like kind of nervous about having sex with a new person. And the first time I did, it wasn't great. All because of me, not because of him, because I was so in my fucking head about like, this is a new body and a new penis and a new person and like, what am I doing? And I couldn't believe how much I was in my head.
Wait, that's wild. But isn't it? I feel like married for 14 years, you're a pro. You know how to do it all.
But I know how to do it all with my husband. Like, I was so used to like his body and what he liked and what his penis was like and what we did that I got very much in my head about being with a new person and like, what is this new person like? And what is his dick like? And what is, you know, like, just, it was very much, and I mean, I got over it pretty quickly within the night, but I definitely felt myself almost like outside of myself watching myself have sex for the first time in a very long time. And then it got progressively better because I got progressively out of my head and just used to this new person. But oh yeah, back to second dick. I think, you know, my ex had a great penis. This new person had a nice one too. So it was great. But
I feel like most of them are nice. I've only really encountered a couple that I was like, no.
Yeah. And I can't remember ever encountering one that was just like, ew, gross. I feel like everyone's, I was with one guy a long time ago who wasn't circumcised. And not to say people who are not circumcised are gross or anything, but like,
say it. All of them are gross. We hate them. Too much skin. No, I'm kidding. I love an uncircumcised penis.
I was like, I think it was just more like, oh shit, I didn't know that's what it looked like when it was you know what I mean?
It is jarring.
It's jarring. And he was the only one still, like, before then, I never had one. And after then, I've never had one uncircumcised.
They're very
this one guy.
Far and few in between.
He wasn't American, so that's, I think, probably why.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I hooked up with this dude for, like, on and off for a very long time who was uncircumcised, and it was just delightful.
Wait, why? Why was it?
I don't know. I think there's just extra skin there and it's nice, and we didn't use condoms, so.
Oh, I get it.
You know, my wayward youth, but now, bag it up. That's what we say, right? Bag it up.
Bag it up.
Sounds
wrap it up.
Gross. Speaking of bag it up, I just learned that you can make ice cream by putting milk and like sugar in a bag. You put it in a bag, and then there's another bag with ice and salt, and then you cover it up and you shake it, and it turns into fucking ice cream.
No.
Yeah. I found this Instagram account called Prison Meals, where this man makes meals that he made in prison for you on his Instagram. And he only has a fork and he uses a card to cut things up because he doesn't have a knife, because in prison you don't have a knife.
Prison Meals?
I don't know if that's what it's actually called.
Okay.
And I'm bad at saving things. So like, I'll never find it again.
You never find it again.
But it's nice. And he gives you like step by step. It's great. Hey, Gracie, you made a web series back in 2016 called My White Boyfriend, with episodes like When Your White Boyfriend Wants Milk with Dinner, which is funny to me because I made dinner for this white man once and he asked for milk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what?
It's disgusting.
Why do you drink milk with dinner?
White people do weird shit. I was still married then, and I was married to a white man. And Clayton Ferris, who did that series with me, he's this really funny guy who back then was on Vine when Vine was a thing. Mm-hmm. And we were in acting class together, and I wanted to start making my own stuff, you know, like as an actor, you always get to, I think, to a point where you're just like, I'm fucking sick of waiting for auditions. Let me do something. And so I said to him, would you want to do like a web series of some sort? And I was like, I always wanted to do something about like interracial dating. And he goes, oh, that's so funny. He's white. His sister's white, but his sister's married to a black man. And he's like, I've always wanted to do something about interracial dating. Let's do it. So it started. We did like a Hamilton one where it was like, when your white boyfriend first discovers Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And then we did one about hair, like when your white boyfriend sees your fro for the first time. That one did the best, I think, because so many women of color could relate to that in interracial relationships, of like the white guy seeing like what black women do with their hair. And then the milk one was also very popular for a similar reason, where people of color are just like, why are you drinking milk? My husband said that when he was a kid, he would come home from playing with his friends all day long, sweaty and disgusting. And what he decided was thirst quenching was milk. Like, he would go into the fridge and then just like guzzle milk and then eat it with dinner. And I was just like, that is so disgusting. I've always hated milk. Even as a child, I've hated milk. And so, yeah, I don't know why they do it, but it's disgusting.
It's very strange. Like, this dude I was dating, he came over, looked at my refrigerator and was like, you don't have any milk? And I was like, what? We were like cuddling on the couch and I was like, and you want to drink a glass of milk? And then what? Kiss me with your like milk coated tongue? What the fuck is this? But then I bought him milk when I made him dinner and he was like, yummy.
Oh my God.
And then I fucked this boy wearing my bonnet and he was like, why? He finally was like, why do you wear this bonnet? And I was like, oh, it's for bedtime. And he was like, yeah, but like maybe you take it off when we fuck. And I was like, well, then I have to like put it back on for bed. And then there was one time where I took it off because it was in the, we like woke up, we were like having sex, and I like took it off, and he was like, oh, she's into it now. And it just made me laugh so hard. I was like, oh, does he think I'm not into it when I keep it on? I don't know. I'm trying to just be more comfortable with like, this is how I live. I used to like sleep in makeup with dudes, but I don't have it in me anymore.
Wow. Yeah, that takes some effort. Did you get makeup all over your pillowcase though?
Of course. All over theirs. Yeah. All over everything. Yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
No, but like, you know, and then sometimes I'd sleep in my contacts and my lashes. It was I made bad choices. But then after we got vaccinated, what was that, 2021? I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't really wear makeup that much anymore unless I'm working. You're going to see my fucking little fro. I do not care anymore.
Yeah. I mean, because they got to love you for, you know, what you actually look like.
Because, which is mystifying to me sometimes because I'm like, I don't look that great in the morning.
No one does, though. No one does.
I guess you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think even no one looks great in the morning. You're all crusty-eyed and bad breath. But, like, if you like someone, you like them regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I just, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, well, no, I don't think anyone's going to love this. And then I do nothing about it. I go, better go about my day. Sorry about it.
I'm always like pleasantly, I guess not pleasantly surprised, just shocked and mortified more that like how different we can look based on like lighting, angles, makeup. Like, I'm just like, there's just sometimes I like catch my reflection in my phone or something. I'm like, oh, God. And then there's other times where I'm like, oh, I'm fucking gorgeous. Like, it's just this, like this complete 180 of like, I'm hideous to like, oh, I'm actually an attractive person.
I feel rather hideous today because I'm wearing a shirt that's slightly too small. So it keeps like rolling up. You can't see it. And then my hair, I usually wear like a little headband with my little fro. I don't have that. I didn't pick it out well enough. So it's truly, it doesn't look good. That's why I've cut my head off on the Zoom.
I only can see your eyes. You look adorable though.
Thank you. I don't feel adorable.
Yeah.
But you know, shit like that happens. You also wrote when your white boyfriend doesn't wear lotion. I should write something called I'm a black who don't wear lotion. I never wear lotion. It's bad.
What?
I know. It's a constant
Nicole
thing.
Byer.
I know. But here's the thing. I'm too busy. I'm getting out of the shower and I've got things to do.
But don't you feel like dry? Like I would feel
all
so
the time.
Dry.
All the time. Currently, I'm very, very dry. Also, like I get bruises all over me and I don't know from where. I don't know.
Yeah, I lather up. I gotta do it right up when I get out of the shower, or else I feel weird. Like I can't put my clothes on if I'm like all dried up.
It's not comfortable. But Gracie, I have things to do.
I know you're very busy. You have four TV shows.
I think
podcasts.
We have to take another break.
Okay.
Wonder how much your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah! All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal
information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. JOINDELETEME.com/date me. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
And we're back. Okay, yay. So are you a gal who's like, because like you're tall and pretty and stuff, and like you got big curly hair.
Thank you.
This is like rude to say to somebody, but I think you know all that stuff about yourself. Are you a girl? How do I say this nicely? Have you always had like a boyfriend? Has dating always been easy for you? How does it feel like to always be wanted?
Oh, shut up. You know what, Nicole Byer? When I was younger, not so much. When I was painfully insecure did not have a lot of confidence when it came to boys and dating when I was younger. And then something happened, I think, in college where I definitely had a boyfriend as a teenager, but in college, let me go back. I also went to all-girls Catholic high school, right? So I didn't have boys my age around.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I ended up dating, like, older men that now in retrospect is really gross. But back then I was like, oh, it's fine.
But what, you've told me about this before. What was, like, the age difference between you and your boyfriend?
So when I was 16, I lost my virginity to someone who was 23.
That's crazy because that person has, like, a job and pays taxes. Like, what do they have in common with you?
Mm-hmm. When I was 18, I was dating, my boyfriend was 30, so like couldn't come to my prom with me. I had to go with a friend.
Racy.
Yeah. Really, really gross. But back then it didn't seem weird or gross. It just seemed, I think I was mature for my age in the sense that I grew up fast. I think because I had a teenage mom, my dad wasn't around, like all that stuff. I grew up in New York City. I was taking the subway at 12. Like, you know, you just grow up fast when you grow up in New York. And so it didn't seem weird. And a lot of my friends were dating older men, again, probably because we were all surrounded by women and not boys our age. So there was definitely like a growth spurt in like late high school, college with the boys. And then I met someone when I was 19 who I dated for 4 years. And that was my first like real boyfriend. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I was a fucking serial monogamous. I would jump from one relationship into the next, into the next. I love love. I fall pretty quickly. I'm like, let's go. If I find someone like I care about, I'm like ready. I'm like, let's do this. The longest I was single was the year before I met my ex-husband. Like, I was single from my boyfriend before him to him for about a year and a half almost. Mm-hmm. And then since my husband, this is the longest I've been single. What I am grappling with now is that I'm older now, right?
Sure.
And though people think I'm younger than I am, I'm not. And so there is this weird thing where now I'm 44 and men in their 30s, like 10 years younger than me, are the ones who hit on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like everyone I'm dating is like 10 years younger than me. And it's weird because we're on probably different timelines. Like guys at that age are starting to think about marriage and children. I'm like, well, I'm just getting out of a marriage. Mm-hmm. And if I have children, I maybe have a 2-year window of this being a possibility, maybe 3 if I'm lucky. And so it's a weird thing to kind of grapple with. And then men older than me are kind of like too old because it's like it jumps from like my age to like 55. And like my mom's only 60. So I don't really want to date someone who's so close to my mom's age. So it's just that I'm in a weird I'm in, for the first time, in a very weird position. And this is the longest I've been single, and which is now like almost, I don't know, a year and a half, year, almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, yes, the long and short of it is, yes, I always had boyfriends. But now it's the first time I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm an older woman now, and this is a little different.
How? How did you keep getting boyfriends?
Well, I grew up in New York, and I was out a lot. I'm going to be honest. I went out a fucking lot. I met people. I worked in restaurants since I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was always in, like, I was always working in, like, the hottest new, like, hotel bar. Like, my first job at 18 was, like, working at the Mercer Hotel, and, like, every celebrity and their mother went there. Every,
you got,
like,
any
cool
stories
person.
About somebody? Some blind items you want to share?
Oh my god! Only like good ones. Like nothing scandalous. Like my first day at work, I'll never forget this because I was fucking in love with George Clooney and obsessed with Jennifer Lopez. And my first day of work, they go, "Okay, guys, so we are hosting the after party for Out of Sight because that's how old I am."
Cool.
Yeah, and I was 19 years old and. The manager says, "Gracie, you're going to have the Clooney table." And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to wait on George Clooney. So I waited on George Clooney all night. I saw Jennifer Lopez in the flesh. I saw her big ass. And I was like, oh, my God, her ass is huge. It's amazing. And then at the end of the night, I'll never forget, George Clooney came to me. He was so lovely all evening, like such a nice guy. Rubbed my back, but not in a pervy way. Like okay. In a very
like in a daddy way.
Like in a very like sweet, like, thank you so much for taking care of us all night. Like you were wonderful. And I just remember like heart like melted. I was just like, oh God, yes. God, I wanted to have sex with him so bad, but I did not.
You should have tried. I would have. I would have been like, if you like this service, I'll service you in your fucking room, dude.
I wasn't bold enough. That was just like, that was the beginning of me having any kind of self-confidence. So I definitely wasn't bold enough to be like, George Clooney, please take me home. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I think, yeah,
No, I mean, it makes sense. Like being out in the world, that's how you meet people. I very much, I think a thing that I struggle with is like, I give a lot of myself to like work and like performing. And then I'm just like tuckered out. And I'm like, I don't want to be out in these streets. You want me to sit in a bar for hours and see if I can hit on somebody? Get real. I gotta go to sleep.
Well, and it's so hard now, too, with fucking COVID is not helping things, you know? It's like, you just gotta worry about more and you can't, I don't know, there's definitely a little bit of funness taking that state. Like, Liz, I'm also kind of a germaphobe. I was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thought of, like, just meeting a random stranger and I don't know, talking very close to them, you know, not knowing their status makes me a little nervous.
It's a little wild. We're just in these streets hoping that people are taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Hey, Gracie, you identify as Afro-Latina.
Yes, I do.
What a terrible segue. What is Afro-Latina for some people who don't know, who might be listening?
You know, Nicole, that's an excellent question because a lot of people don't know. It's funny. It's a term that's historically been around for a long time, as I recently found out because I did not know this. But it is not a term people were using up until, I would say, maybe the last 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I had so many identity issues because I grew up in New York City as a Dominican American with a family, like all Latin families, just constantly telling me I'm Dominican. But me being like, yeah, but I'm black. And a lot of Latin people don't like to admit that they're black. There's a lot of colorism and racism in our community that is not a secret. And so growing up, it was always like, no, you're not black. You're Dominican. And it wasn't until I got to college and my best friend, who's still one of my best friends, Jasmine, she was my roommate in college. She's like, bitch, you're black.
Black. I grew up on the East Coast, and I always thought Dominicans were black. And I always thought it was really funny when they'd be like, no, I'm Dominican. I'm like, yeah, but you're also just black.
Right. And the thing is, there's a difference. Like, black is race. Dominican is ethnicity. Like, yeah, my ethnicity is Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think, you know, that's where that term Afro-Latina or Latina comes. It's like, it's acknowledging our blackness, but a lot of people don't like to use it because they don't want to acknowledge their blackness. And there is a difference between black and African American, right? You can be black and not be African American. Mm-hmm. So I think Dominicans are black, but not African American. And that's a distinguished, that's something that, because now we have this term Afro-Latino, we can say, oh, I'm Afro-Latino, I'm not African American. And I guess that's better for them to feel like they can still like acknowledge their Latin roots. But basically, it's any Latin person that has some kind of African ancestry, which most Latin people do, especially mm-hmm. from the Caribbean, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, but all over, like Panamanians, Colombians, there are black Mexicans. But yeah, it's definitely something that I think our community is still like wrapping their heads around. And I think there's definitely been movement in that. I think in Hollywood especially, people are finally realizing that not all Latinos look like J-Lo and John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. Like we come in all shades and all hair types and all colors and all color eyes and everything else. because Hollywood just wants to depict them as like the Sofia Vergaras and Jennifer Lopez's of the mm-hmm. world, that they're like, they're tan and they have big boobs and big asses and, you know, whatever, and long, straight, wavy hair. And it's like, yeah, those exist. But also yeah. there's fucking blonde ones with blue eyes and there's fucking super dark black ones with, you know, uh-huh. kinky hair.
Like so. Christina Aguilera. She is Latina.
She is Latina.
Latinx. I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to say Latinx. I feel like I just saw something where it was either. Like, maybe you don't say it no more.
Well, it's like Latina now, Latinx, Latino, Latina. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to try to include people, I guess. But that's a whole other thing the Latin community is grappling with.
Do you remember, were you on Twitter with Jesse Williams' large penis video circulating? So it's this play called
Take Me Out.
Yes, it's called Take Me Out, and it is a baseball play. Mm-hmm. And I went and saw it because I saw that big old honking dick on Twitter and went and saw it, and honestly very, very good. But there's a line in it where somebody says, well, they're colored people. And then he was like, no, they're people of color. And he's like, what's the difference? And he's like, we just have to trust them. And that made me laugh so hard because yeah. it was like, I feel like a lot of white people are like, things keep changing. Why? And it's uh-huh. like, well, I don't know. We just decided that like, we don't, this is what we like to be called. Not that.
No, it's true. And you know, I think, yeah, people are still figuring that out. But I will say a lot of people don't know what the fuck Latin Afro-Latino means. I've had someone ask me if that means, one person asked me, is it because you have an afro?
And that's pretty funny.
And I said, oh my God, you can't be serious. And they were completely serious.
That's a fun person. I'd like to meet them.
And then someone thought it meant that like I had an African-American parent and a Latin parent. And I was like, no, both of my parents were Dominican, but black, but like of color, Dominicans. Mm-hmm. But that could be the case, I guess. If you're half black and half Latin, then I guess you still would be Afro-Latino. I don't know. Now I'm confusing myself.
Real quick, back to Take Me Out. I think it's still running on Broadway. And if you're in New York City, you should go see it. Because one, it is a delightful comedy / drama. You know, it's a play, so it's got heart to it. Mm-hmm. Everyone acts really well. And you get to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6 dicks at several times in this show.
Wow.
There's shower scenes, man. People get undressed. There are like, you have to put your phone in like that little pouch because, you know, you can't be, you know, taping people in a Broadway show.
They do that now. Okay.
And when Jesse Williams first takes off his pants, there was a woman sitting house right who just went,
no,
and
no.
Lining up to get into the show, it was just black women who were like, I can't wait to see that thing. And gay men being like, I got off work early and I can't wait to see that thing. And we all were there for one purpose. And I've never experienced being at a show where everyone collectively was like, I don't, this is a baseball thing that I've never heard of. I came to see a penis.
Wait, so is his penis really that big?
It's incredible. I was not that close, and I still was like, like I clutched my pearls at one point because it was so fabulous. I couldn't believe that I paid very little money to see it.
Oh my god!
I mean, the acting
and there's
was
other
great.
People's penises too.
All of them. You get to see all of them. It's delightful. Wow. And there was a talk back after, and the woman running was this black lady who is so funny. She very quietly spoke into the microphone. She said, if you have any questions or thoughts, I'm going to be around with a piece of paper and you can write it down. And then she walked through the theater like she was a ghost because she was trying not to make noise. And at one point, someone reached out to get a piece of paper and she just like crumbled. She got scared and went, oh, like almost fell to the floor. She was haunted and she was so funny. And then one of the questions somebody asked was, and I'm pretty good at like skimming something as I'm reading it and stopping myself before you get to a moment where you're like, nobody needs to hear this. But the moderator was like, okay, here's this question. This person says, my grandmother was hit with a baseball and died. Are you guys doing anything to keep that from happening? Also, great play. And we were all like, oh, what? And then he was like, wow. Oh, that was bad. And I was like, you saw those words before you said them out loud. It is not like you involuntarily couldn't stop reading. It was truly the best experience I've ever had in my whole life.
Oh, man. I really want to see that.
Honestly, if you have the time, fly to New York and go
I'm
see
I'm going
it.
To New York next month.
I don't know if it's still... I think it runs through July. I'm 99% sure.
Sorry. Wait. This is airing June 7th. Yes. Yeah, so I will be in New York.
Please, if it's running, go see it. Jesse Tyler Ferguson is so fucking funny in it. And then all... Like, everybody who's in it's really fucking good. I think you're gonna like what you see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been in rooms with Jesse because we have mutual friends. And so it may feel a little uncomfortable to see his penis, if I'm being honest.
Well, his you don't see. Spoiler. That's the only dick you don't see.
Jesse Williams?
Oh, Jesse Williams. Yes. Sorry. Jesse Tyler Ferguson. You don't see his. Jesse Williams. Jesse it's Taylor. Not awkward. I promise. I could hang out with him tomorrow. And know full well what he's packing and not have a problem with it.
Okay. I want to see it for the art of the play, not because of his penis. Okay, I'm just going to make that clear.
Here's what I say. Go for the dick, stay for the art. That's what happened to me. I was enraptured and I like genuinely was like moved by the end of it.
Oh, great.
And I loved it. I had read it years and years and years ago. So like I kind of knew what it was about. I used to read a lot of plays. I have since stopped reading.
Mm.
Oh, and then I saw a slave play. Oh. So I've been out and about at the plays. Slave play was wild. Play. There's a part where this man jerks off another man's boot. And I turned to Sashir, who I had brought, and I said, I'm so sorry I brought you here. Because the play got wilder as time went on.
Oh, I know. I saw it. Remember we had our whole little text exchange about
boy.
Slave play?
I do love when art makes friends talk.
That's what I was saying.
It is nice. Good or bad, I like it when it makes friends
I
talk.
I said, it did its job. We're
I
talking about
I just can't
it.
Wait for the, like, Fairfield High School production of Slave Play.
No. No school should do Slave Play.
That's what I'm waiting for. And I can't wait to read the reviews and see clips on Instagram in a couple of years or whatever we have by that time.
Mm.
Right? Because we're not going to have Instagram for that much longer, right?
I hope not.
It's going to evolve into something else. Like, what is social media? I don't know anymore. Gracie!
Yes?
We're coming to the end, but you graduated magna cum laude. What does that mean? This is when you find out I'm a straight-up idiot. I have no idea what that means.
It means I'm a nerd. I think I had a 3.7 GPA.
Oh.
When I graduate. That's all it means. It's so funny. I just was at my sister's graduation this past weekend. And so, you know, when they announce the kids' names who graduate with honors, they'll say their name and they'll be like, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, whatever. Everyone says it very funny, by the way. Mm-hmm. They make sure to say cum and not cum.
Oh.
You know, you can tell they're all like being very cautious not to say cum. But then I had to look up because I didn't remember what each one meant. And so it's all 3.5 and above GPA graduating, but like 3.5 to 6 is cum laude, 7 to 8 is magna cum laude, and 9 to 4.0 is summa cum laude.
Oh. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Fun. I'm a real I didn't go to real nerd. School, so I don't have no cum laudes or cum summas.
Cum laude summas.
Gracie, we've come to the end. I ask all of my guests this except for a run of a couple episodes where I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not sure why I chose to do that. Mm. But I'm back to it. Back on my fucking bullshit. Would you date me?
Absolutely.
That makes me so happy. Thank you, Gracie.
I mean, come on. I love you. I told you I loved you like the first week we worked together.
I know. And I love you. Here's what I like so much about you. I find you to be so like effortlessly cool. And I try really hard to be cool sometimes.
Wow. That is the best compliment anyone's ever given me.
Yeah, I feel like you're just like, you happen to be cool.
Well, thank you. That is a great compliment because I've always felt like a real dorky nerd. I still feel like a dorky nerd, but I do love clothes.
So. You do have good clothes.
Thank you.
And I like
you have good clothes, actually. We have a similar, we both love leopard, which I thought was very fun. You know, I think so too. I'm actually wearing leopard pants right now. I love some leopard. But thank you, Nicole. And yeah, I would love to date you. Let's go for drinks and dinner soon, please.
Let's do it. I love it. Okay, Gracie, thank you so much for doing this. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Please watch NBC's Grand Crew.
Yeah.
Peacock and Hulu. And then I have a podcast that you are going to be on called Not Blank Enough, where you can watch. You can listen to wherever you listen to your podcast. And then that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. And if you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you could like it, you could rate it, you could subscribe or something or whatever. I don't know. Give me like a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and like Spotify and shit. And if you write me a nasty message hitting on me, you can write it to Why Won't You Date Me Podcast at gmail.com. Please no dick pics because my wonderful producer, Marissa, is the one who curates it and she doesn't want to see your dicks. I don't ever see the dicks. So you're sending them in a fruitless mission. Okay, so this dirty message said, one day while Clyde is out for a walk, which is pretty funny, am I walking him or is my dog just out by himself? I'll pull up in a rental van and kidnap him. So my dog is just out for a walk by himself. Okay. The next morning, a ransom note will appear at your door that says you'll be required to complete an elaborate set of sexual favors in order for Clyde's safe return. Friend, I don't know about this. Understandably upset, you drink multiple bottles of wine and call Sashir to brainstorm. You are too involved in my life. What the sexual task could possibly be. However, all the sex talk accidentally gets you super horny on the phone with my friend? I hate this. It's at this moment that I'll show up at your door in a furry costume that looks just like Clyde? Why are you doing this to me? You're too deep into your blackout to tell if it's actually a man and not your beloved Clyde. I eat your pussy like it's peanut butter. I would never let my dog eat my pussy.
Ew.
And then we have sex doggy style. Of course, you pass out and I sneak out of your house and return Clyde. In the morning, everything's back to normal. But you look at Clyde and you think, did we fuck? Well, glad you're home, pal. I hated that. This takes the top spot as the worst thing anyone's ever written me. The top one was someone wanted to flip me upside down and fill me with clam chowder. And that was like 2.5 years ago. And it's haunted me ever since. But this takes the top part where this person's trying to trick me into fucking my dog. I would never fuck Clyde. He has the worst breath in America. Also, he's a dog. He can't consent. It's not as rude.
Oh, I don't like that.
I hated it. That's the worst message I've ever gotten. Hope you're happy. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream. Ha ha ha.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And, like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dateme.